Technorama episode 433. Honestly, I didn't touch it.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for a hoppy ale with a slight bitterness and a hint of stale Easter peep.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
I changed up that last part on you, Craig.
I know. I was Easter peep.
Mm. Easter. Have you had the peep beer?
Dear
God.
Oh.
Is there such a thing?
Oh, it's horrid. It is so horrid.
I think I'll pass.
Yeah.
I like stale Easter peeps, not in my beer.
Yeah, definitely not one to look for.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. As always, I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
A little disgusted thinking about a peep beer.
That's what I'm here for.
I think I'm gonna hurl.
Hey, I did have a, I posted it on Facebook. I did have a PB&J.
Beer?
Beer, yes. Ew. Actually, it was called Peanut Butter Jelly Time.
Yeah, I've seen that, you know, one. I haven't had,
you know,
that
what?
One.
I'll tell you like this. It was enjoyable, but not enough for me to make it a regular drink.
Mm.
This is not a beer cast. We should send a review off to the Brit and Yankee pubcast.
Yeah. I'll give it a 7 out of 10. How about that?
What we do have coming up in this episode is the Invisible Jet, Play-Doh, or is it Play-Doh? Yeah. And Max Headroom. All that and more coming up right after this. Stick around.
I've always wondered, what is a parsec? A parsec is the equivalent to 3.26 light years, and since a light year is the distance of light traveled in one year...
Whoa. I really meant to ask, what is a parsec award?
Oh, I got this one. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn from the award non-winning podcast Geek Radio Daily. Mer Lafferty, Michael Meningay, and Tracy Hickman founded the Parsec Awards in 2006... to celebrate speculative fiction podcasting. Shows are nominated by the fans. You can start nominating podcasts now through May 31st. Geek Radio Daily has even presented at the awards at the ceremony at Dragon Con in Atlanta.
Well, what if I want to nominate a podcast?
Go to ParsecAwards.com. Podcasts are judged on their content and audio quality, so it's anyone's game. There are 16 categories, and it's not about audience size. You could even say audience size doesn't matter.
That's good, since no one actually listens to Geek Radio Daily.
Hey!
Just kidding, Billy Flynn. Well, you heard it here, folks. Nominate a podcast or just get the details at ParsecAwards.com.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Yeah, who was that?
Who was that?
Nobody actually listens.
Tech Radio Daily, what?
Hey,
what?
Poor Billy.
I know. Another podcast that went to the ether.
No, I think they're still around. We see them. They do live show at DragonCon every year.
Really?
Yeah. Billy's walking around with a shirt that says Flynn Lives. It's great.
Awesome.
Hey, by the way, did he not win last year?
I don't recall. No, because this is a new promo. So they did
say
podcast non-winning.
Yeah, I was in there going, I thought he won last year, but maybe he was nominated.
I think he presented.
He could have presented, yeah.
That's as close as he's going to get.
That's as close as we got for a long time.
Hey, I'm just happy that my name's still attached to it.
You found it, man. You found it.
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't really been that active with it, so.
We're among greatness, Craig.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, really? Who else is there?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I will agree with that.
Let's go into our feedback, shall we? Hit play. There we go.
There we go.
There we go. Why is it only one channel? Letters.
I have no... We've got to clean letters. Those contacts.
We get your letters every day. The listener won't know. It's mono.
Time trying to do some studio maintenance.
Apparently.
Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy. Oh,
boy.
Mailman.
Boy.
Mail today.
We have one voicemail in the listener bag and one email. The voicemail goes something like this.
I am Groot.
That's all we got.
Well, that's a very poignant question, and I'm not sure how I want to answer that. That I think it's too much of a topic for this conversation, for this show.
That's like I cut Michael off. Start playing the music.
I always forget to pause the stupid MD-480.
That's fun.
That's it. I'm the Rodney Dangerfield of podcasting. I get no respect at all.
I am Groot.
That's what we got. I have no idea. I'm not going to backtrace the number from K7 to figure out who that was.
You know what?
Thank you.
I think I may have passed on putting that in the show notes at all because I thought it was another pocket dial because how small it was.
Yeah, because sometimes you look at the file size and he's like, 6K? That must be just nothing.
I love some of the voicemail you get in with the K7 numbers. Like you'll get because you get
stuff.
random spam or somebody that's got the wrong K7 number and thinks you're somebody else.
You still have that blazer for sale?
Exactly.
Well, remember, I've gotten a couple of pharmaceutical faxes.
You get faxes.
Faxes, yeah, that's always awesome too.
Yeah, I think I got a fax for a prescription.
Oh, great. Did you fill it?
Yeah, I should have.
Your coverage has been denied.
Yeah, right.
We have an email from Tom regarding Pi Day, because that was last month.
Oh, that was so much fun.
In honor of Pi, he says, do the math. This is kind of wild. If you put a string around the circumference of a basketball, then the length of that string is the famous 2 pi r formula from our earlier math class, right? But elevate the string, I mean, stretch it out 1 centimeter above the surface of the basketball, and the string is exactly 6.2831853 centimeters longer. Now, do the same thing around the Earth, and that string will be considerably longer, but elevate the string 1 centimeter above the Earth's surface, and it's exactly 6.2831853 centimeters longer. Well, no further distance than the basketball.
That is weird. Hey,
mind blown.
Wow.
It is.
That is cool.
I was
there's something in that.
You know, I was actually reading about Pi because, you know, on Pi Day.
Yes.
You know, on like Wikipedia or something. Maybe I was watching a video and they were talking about Pi and they were mentioned about 6.28, blah, blah, blah. And how that is also a common number in nature, just like 3.1. Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah, you see it all over the place.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like 101.
That's why my password is the last 4 digits of pi.
Yeah. Well,
it's easy to remember that way.
101 is the number that Chuck writes in all the bathrooms. That's why you see it everywhere.
It's also Neo's apartment in The Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's right.
The Cyberdyne Systems Model 101. It just keeps coming up. I think somebody's having fun with us.
Absolutely.
Somebody's screwing with us.
They probably are. So let's screw with them with some history.
Okay.
On this day in history for April 8th, 2015, this is the 98th day of the year. That means Saturday is the 101 day of the year.
Nice.
There are 267 days remaining in 2015. It was on this date in 1904 that Longacre Square, of which we're all very familiar, in Midtown Manhattan, is renamed Times Square after the New York Times. Very cool.
And that same date in 1908... Harvard University votes to establish the Harvard Business School.
Oh, and you're going to give me the name that I can't pronounce. Thank you for that.
There's several.
Dutch physicist Heinkel... Kamerling Ohms discovered superconductivity 104 years ago today. I should actually know that.
That's wild. That's a long time ago.
Superconductors.
Also on this day in 1946. Okay, I'll take my crack at this one. Electricité de France, the world's largest utility company, is formed as a result of the nationalization of a number of electricity producers, transporters, and distributors.
All right, you ready for me?
Yeah.
Sure.
April 8th, 1959, the team of computer manufacturers, users, and university people led by Grasshopper.
Grasshopper. Someday you will form a team of computer manufacturers and do great things.
I was reading it too fast.
You were doing good there for a while.
Led by Grasshopper. Meets to discuss the creation of a new programming language that would be called COBOL.
Oh my God, COBOL.
1959. Now Shudder. You know you're using an old language.
Shudder, COBOL. Also today in 1964, my year of my birth, an unmanned test flight of Gemini 1 is launched. And if you notice, I used Gemini, which is Gemini. The way they all called it Gemini.
Is that like robot?
Yes.
The construction of the world's first building to integrate wind turbines is completed in Bahrain 7 years ago today. Craig, you want to lead the birthdays out?
Sure, and happy birthday goes out in this date to astronomer and mathematician Dave Rittenhouse, born on this date in 1732.
Also born in this date in 1859, Edmund Husserl, the Australian mathematician and philosopher.
Stand up philosopher. Sorry.
Mel Brooks. Sit down. No, stand up.
Is that a T or an I?
Husserl. I think it's an L.
I think it's
American chemist and Nobel Prize laureate Melvin Calvin, not to be confused with Kelvin Melvin, was born today in 1911.
Oh, I lost my place. Hold on a minute.
April 8th, 1917.
Oh, yeah. April 8th, 1917. Is also the birthday of the mathematician and computer scientist Winfried Osprey.
We've got a lot of mathematicians born this day.
Yep.
Estonian astronomer Grigori Kurzman. Okay, Grigori.
Close enough.
Sure, whatever. Would have been 98 today.
We've never been criticized about our technical accuracy on the names yet, and we're not about to start now. Actor Stuart Pankin from Not Necessarily the News and many other fine roles turned 69 today.
Wow.
And the woman who plays Princess Buttercup.
This one blew my mind.
From The Princess Bride and Claire Underwood in House of Cards, Robin Wright is 49 today. What, 49?
49.
Did not know that was the same actress.
40?
Until it today.
Absolutely.
One minute. 49?
I know.
I mean, she does. In all fairness, she looks like she should maybe a little older than 49.
Yeah. For House of Cards, yes.
For they aged her up pretty good for House of Cards.
I mean, she looks good for. I'm. It's tricky. I probably shouldn't comment.
And finally, computer programmer Mark Spencer is 38.
He doesn't look 38 at all. He should be like 45 or 50.
Computer time isn't real time.
That's right.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for April 8th, 2015. And truth be known, it's also the 28th anniversary of Donna's and my first date.
Nice. So
we'll go with that. See, I remember the important things, even when they're not on the script.
Yeah.
Crybabies.
What? Yes,
hey,
Craig.
Hey, by the way, remember earlier I mentioned I messed up. I'm sure you don't remember. I messed up the name. Grasshopper.
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 Yeah. Grasshopper. Well, you know, I like Grasshopper better.
Well, you know what? The reason I stumbled over her name was I kept thinking, wasn't she the one that discovered the computer bug?
You'll have to look during our break. That one's not bringing back memory. Maybe listeners
I'm looking at it right here.
All right.
Okay. It's on Wikipedia. So,
okay. Well, then, yeah. There you go.
So that's why I kept thinking Grasshopper.
The bug.
Was that the name of the
so that
virus?
Must be the name of the bug, huh?
Yeah. No, she had a moth. It was
bug,
like a moth
Grasshopper.
Or something.
Got it.
Very nice.
All right. Let's do this.
Good news, everyone. What?
Well, this isn't good news. We should have played one of the bad news ones. This was very tasteless of
me.
The world's oldest person has died at the age of 117.
That's still a pretty good long run.
Wow. What do they call that? A super centenarian when you span multiple centuries like that? Born in 1898, Japan's Misao Okawa died peacefully in her nursing home earlier today. This was last week, obviously. Here's how her remarkably long tenure on Earth stacks up against the longest human lives. She came in fifth place.
That's, really?
Yeah. Fifth oldest person ever at 117 and some odd days. The oldest person was 122 years, 164 days. Jean Calment of France. I hope I'm saying that. Jean Calment?
Jean, probably, right?
Yeah.
Jean Camille.
Gene. Yep. Gene.
Gene Luke Pickard.
Janine.
That doesn't sound good when you say it like that.
Sarah Knaus in the U.S. at 119 years old. Lucy Hanna from the U.S. at 117. And fourth place is Mary Louise Miller.
Louis.
Mueller.
It's Canadian.
Well, you know, I put this in the show notes because I was always fascinated with how old people can live. And when I saw this, I was like, wow, 117. And then I started thinking, who's the oldest? And then that's when this article popped up and I realized that the oldest person was 122.
That is a long time.
Yes,
imagine
it is.
The things they see in their lifetime. She could probably recite half of these.
Heartache. Nothing but heartache.
It was on this day in 1918. Yep, I was there for that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, what about like biblical figures? You know, they say like Noah was like 900 or something, and I forget all the different ages, but they're it's ridiculous numbers. I'm like, how did they live that long?
Yeah, we're not going there.
Thank you.
Let's not
go
there.
This is recorded on Easter Sunday.
Let's just not go there.
Offend as many people as we can.
All right, fine.
From listener Tom, he's got a link to Amazon Dash. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, this thing.
I honestly thought this was
April Fool's joke.
I did too.
Yeah.
They
announced it at the wrong time is what happened.
I still am not convinced this is legit.
You know what? They've been talking about this for so long, though.
This is the epitome of laziness. The next thing they need is just drones to drop the stuff in your house and
there was that story that was out, and this was, again, everybody was swearing it was an April Fool's joke, and I'm still not sure that it wasn't. The whole idea that you could actually voice activated ordering from Amazon.
Yeah.
That all you have to do is just basically speak what you want and it will automatically come from Amazon. It's like, wow, no, I don't really want that. Thank you.
But from Amazon's perspective, it's brilliant because all you have to do is keep them shopping. Make shopping experience as seamless as possible.
They get enough of my damn money every month as it is. Yeah. I spend way too much time and way too much money on Amazon anyway.
For as much as we pay on Amazon Prime, they should come to my house and inventory what I got and replace it.
If you haven't seen, Amazon Dash is a little button. It's just a couple inches long and maybe an inch high with this button. I don't know if it's Wi-Fi activated or what,
but
they have different branded ones for things you commonly use, like detergent, paper towels, toilet paper.
The idea is that you set it up next to the area where you use it. So if it's toilet paper, you put it in the bathroom.
Right.
If it's paper towels, you put it in the kitchen. And when you run out, you punch the button.
And it will order the Amazon thing for you and send it via Prime. And I don't know. All they need is the drones to bring the toilet paper to me.
Yeah, they're working on that.
I'm stuck on the throne still.
Because the drones are within.
Wait 2 days for delivery, Chuck.
If they get the drone thing in place, they're saying less than 24-hour delivery on stuff.
Can I coin a new term then? The throne, the drone throne?
The drone throne.
Hey, by the way, I know.
I love that.
Here's your toilet paper, sir.
Hey, No cameras. Until I read about it a little closer, I just imagined that what if one of your kids decides to keep hitting the button and they all of a sudden an Amazon branded truck pulls up out front with your
kids. How about my cat? My cat discovers it, decides it, wants to play with the button. Are you kidding? 400 orders of paper towels. I'd have enough paper towels to last my lifetime.
What's the cat planning?
What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly.
It's so the cat can clean up the blood.
From the cat holocaust.
Well, to be fair, it actually sends you a text from what I was reading.
Okay, so you have to confirm it.
You have to confirm it. So basically, once you punch the button, it just places the order in standby, and then it'll send you a text to your phone, and you have to accept or decline. So that way, if it accidentally gets pushed or something happens, so to be fair, they do have some safeguards.
Okay,
but this is still a really scary.
Would
scary
you
scary place to go.
Would you, could you see yourself putting any of these around your house?
No, I do not.
By the way, I came up with a better idea. Instead of around my house, because I think that would litter your house with a bunch of little stupid buttons where, you know, where you didn't really need any more litter to begin with. But what I thought of, instead of homes, like if I had like a car shop and I needed to order some more towels or something, you know, heavy duty paper towels that they use.
For business.
Yes. I think in a business, I think this makes a lot more sense.
It could have some practical applications there. But again, it's just getting to the point where we're getting so damn lazy as a civilization that it's like we want to sit in our couch and watch TV all day long and do
order
nothing
Amazon
else.
Stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough my freaking Apple TV's taken over my life. I don't have to move off my couch I don't have to get up and put a DVD in the DVD player because what the hell is a DVD anymore? So what the hell is a Blu-ray? What's that?
Here's the worst example of laziness. Honey, did you order the paper towels? No, I forgot to hit the damn dash button.
It's all the way over there.
It's clear over there. Can you get up and do it for me?
You were just there.
Let me use my phone to magically hit the button.
That's too far away. I'll just order it off my smartphone on the couch.
We found the fatal flaw with the dash button. It's over there.
Yeah, I'd have to get up and walk over to it. I don't even get up and change my channel on my TV anymore.
And let's take a quick look at the birthday calendar. We have a light week this week, not to turn this into a weather report again. April 8th is our friend Christiana Ellis.
Sorry, I was the weather.
And April 14th is Danny Harnish. Happy birthday to both of you. I looked ahead. There are some more birthdays coming next week, so we'll have more than that. Happy birthday to both of you, and happy birthday if it is your birthday and you're not on the calendar. Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name over there. We'll give you a shout-out at the appropriate time of year. And
did I get a birthday shout-out?
Yes, you did.
I did.
You did.
Well, somebody's not listening to the show.
I admit I haven't been listening. All right.
We're going to take a quick break and be
You're
back
pathetic.
With
I'm
all
on the
our...
show. I don't need to listen to it.
If you show up and record, then you don't need to. That's the deal. You don't need to listen if you're here. Quick break. We'll be back with the Hacks and Strange Stories, the chat room, Remember When, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So stick around.
Hey, I need to order some paper towels. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Sorry, you didn't get that one.
He rolls 20 every time. He laid out plans for man to reach Mars and return safely on a cocktail napkin. The next day, it was approved. He always knows where his towel is. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friend.
Hi, this is Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles, and you are listening to Technorama, because you're in the cool club.
So, Craig, when he outlined his plans to go to Mars and return safely on a cocktail napkin, were the plans on the cocktail napkin, or were the plans
people? Yeah. Well, you're not literally people on a cocktail napkin, because that sounds like something that would happen at a bar.
He's that damn good.
Low overhead, it's really easy, and it's recyclable too.
Look, for $5, you can get like a whole pallet of these things. We can all go to Mars. Yes.
All right, this past week was April Fool's, and we were all inundated with many, many great April Fool's jokes.
The Pac-Man Google Map thing took over my life for a day.
that was fun.
That was crazy. Fun. They need to keep that on
it
all
was
the time.
On, it was on like 2 days ago. They was kept it for a while.
They kept it? Yeah. They need to keep it forever because, man, I'll tell you Google what, that was cool.
Yeah, Google does that. They keep a couple of them around. Was that there was another
it
one
kills
that kept
me that somebody
around.
Got paid to do that though.
Oh,
somebody,
I know.
Somebody's job
was to create Pac-Man. So you could run Pac-Man on your streets. That was so cool. I went to every neighborhood that I ever lived in and I played Pac-Man on it. Tell me, really? You didn't do that. I mean, that's it was so freaking cool to run around your neighborhood. I had a Power Pill set right in front of my house. It was awesome.
Did it go faster downhill?
Yeah. I did it in Texas. I did it in Alaska. I did it in South Carolina. So yeah, I made the gambit myself.
So, Craig, what did you find that was cool about, what was it, the National Air and Space Museum? They had a good one.
Yes, they had a good one. And, you know, they took the Spirit of St. Louis down from the ceiling, and they had an empty space with the cables hanging, and they had a scissor lift up there and a guy with a little feather duster. He was cleaning the Wonder Woman's invisible jet that they had on display for one day.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but there's a video at the bottom and they're, you know, talking about how much of an honor it is to have the plane and talk about the history a little bit. And in the background, you see the guy cleaning, you know, like he's cleaning it. He's just sitting up on the scissors lift with a brush. Looks like he's cleaning the invisible jet.
That's just great.
So, yeah, they really got into it, and I'm surprised they didn't break character because I would have busted out laughing.
I like this quote. The Museum of Flight had acquired the plane with the help from Lieutenant Diana Prince in April 2013. Since then, our curator Bob Vanderlinden wanted very much to display the plane at the museum in Washington, D.C. The jet is well ahead of its time. It used stealth technologies in the 1950s, long before the Lockheed YF-12A and SR-71 Blackbird were introduced. The engines on this plane allowed Wonder Woman to travel through space.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that NASA's North American X-15 took the United States to the edge of space in the 1960s, but it was Amazonian technology that had Wonder Woman traveling into deep space in the 1950s.
Didn't it fly faster than the SR-71 too, if I remember right? If my comic book lore is right, that she could actually traverse the distance between like the U.S. and like France in like an hour, like 20 minutes or some crazy amount.
And not even mess up her hair.
Yeah, not even mess up her hair. And doing that in an invisible jet where you could see everything, would that be freaking cool or what? It
would be cool. Hey, who's that guy just sitting in the sky?
Well, it's a lot like the new panels that they are proposing to put into the big jumbo jets. So it feels like you're just sitting in a seat in the sky. Yeah. So everything has display and shows the outside of the aircraft.
Oh,
I know. I'm so for it. And everybody I talk to is like, oh, that'd be the most terrifying thing.
You know,
it's like, no, that'd be that sounds better. Freaking cool.
That sounds better than a roller coaster I rode.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to lean over the person at the window seat's lap to go, oh, I can kind of see the Grand Canyon.
Right.
Do you know what would be funny? Oh, my gosh. One of these TV companies, remember they did the elevators where it looked like the floor fell out? You ever see that?
Oh, yes.
They put the TV panels in the floor, the video panels,
and it shows the body. Yeah. It shows what's underneath the elevator. Uh-huh. So you step in, and it looks like there's nothing underneath of you.
At first, it looks like the floor is there, and then it looks like the panels fall off, and it shows what's below.
Right.
So that'd be awesome if you're on a plane, all of a sudden it looks like the floor is ripped away.
Where'd my luggage go?
Oh man!
They should do that just in the aisle, though. That'll keep people in the seats.
No, I can hold it. I don't need to go to the bathroom. I'm fine.
You watch them walking like penguins, you know, where they're 1 foot on one side of the aisle and 1 foot on the other side.
That's great.
Yeah. That's funny. That would be scary if the pan looked like the panels just came out of off the plane and you could see through.
Yeah, that's what you need. Yeah. As you're taking off, the fuselage is ripping off of the top of the plane.
Yeah, hilarious.
That would be awesome.
Or better yet, do a William Shatner moment and just replace the window with a screen.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you start seeing the alien out in the wing or the creature.
The gremlin.
The gremlin.
Yeah, the gremlin. That's it. I swear something out there, I swear.
That's great. Oh, you could do so much with that. It'd be just, oh, That could be the flight of terror.
This is why we don't work for Boeing.
Boeing out of business with lawsuits in like a week.
Yeah. Several people died of heart attacks due to fright.
Gremlins on the wing.
So they thought.
Yeah. Craig, do we have anybody in the chat room?
Why, yes, we do. We have Jeremy Keel, we have Tim Elliott, and Mad Marv.
No, Scott.
Do not see Scott.
Oh,
we got to fire him. Down.
Okay.
We need to write him up.
If you want to be part of this insanity that we do each week, 9:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Pacific, we want to see you. Go to chuckchat.com/technorama. We have a watch live button. Does that actually take them to the right place now?
No, it takes them to Amazon so they can order something.
Because Technorama gets a kickback, your donations are appreciated.
Our Amazon Associates thing is working better. We're not getting any names on the birthday calendar, and we don't have any live viewers because they're all trying to buy something.
I'm pushing the button and nothing's happening.
But I have some products coming in the mail. Yes, actually, it does take you. But there's a watch now button, and it does take you straight to the YouTube Live. That's right.
Excellent. I wasn't sure if we did that after we did the rehosting thing a couple months ago, but nice to know that's all working.
Yep.
Let's take a look at Remember When. In the Remember When segment, we have, several articles. The first one of which is Bell Labs could send sign language over the phone line in 1979. This was a rather interesting video because they had the retro-reflective gloves on people.
Hey, wait. By the way, I have tried to send sign language through the phone, but it did not succeed.
Well, that's because you're doing audio only, silly boy.
No.
I know what he's saying. Especially when you're having a complaint with the bill department. I send sign language to them all the time.
That certain finger that expresses your appreciation.
The one finger salute, yes.
Thank you for playing, Chuck.
I was following you, Craig.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's probably not the best picture I should have put on. This lady is not looking. This is just a screen grab I got off the video. But she's wearing these gloves with retro reflectors on them. And that's all you see when you see them doing the sign language. Back in the good old days before the internet and Yo and Meerkat and Snapchat, we had one way to talk to people faraway lands, the telephone. But a microphone and speaker aren't much use if you're hearing impaired. In 1979, a Bell Labs research project devised a way of communicating with sign language using the bandwidth of the phone line 35 years ago.
That's pretty impressive, actually.
Mm-hmm. Video chat wasn't feasible for most users, so the challenge was to distill sign language down to something that could be encoded and sent over the very limited bandwidth provided by a single phone line. The solution was to place 27 retroreflective dots on the hands and face of each individual. She's got one on her nose. That's my favorite.
I'm looking
part
at this picture, and just all I see is Bell Labs when the walls fell.
Literally.
Truly.
That was before the divestiture, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. 27 retroreflective dots on the hands and face of each individual, and then point a bright light at a camera at the signer. The dots, and only the dots, were detected by transmitting device, which could then be send the positional information to a screen on the other end. The researchers Kenneth Knowlton and Vivian Tarter outlined their achievement in a paper in Nature. As well as being an impressive technology feat, remember, they pulled this off before the Walkman was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a good lesson in designing technology around the user. It would have been easier just to force the hard of hearing to use written communication or learn some other more machine-friendly sign language. But instead, Knowlton and Tarter found a solution with zero learning curve and total user friendliness.
That's pretty impressive. That really is.
79.
Imagine designing something with the user in mind.
Who does that anymore?
No, that's crazy talk.
That's right. Now, that is fantastic, though. You know, what's funny is this is really the first time I've heard of this.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard of this either. I didn't know it existed.
Amazing.
I mean,
what's with the slot cars?
I'm sorry. It's kind of a tasteless joke.
I'm I was looking ahead to the next story.
We're peeking into the next story.
I'm trying to figure out what the slot cars have to do with anything in life here.
So wait a minute. So I got to finish my thought. So I said,
go ahead.
So that's something we've never heard of. Well, not to be insensitive, but they haven't either.
Oh, Craig.
I'm sorry. You can send your comments to Craig at technorama.com.
I may have to do some editing on this show.
To save your skin. Well, if that doesn't drive the numbers up, I don't know what will.
There you go.
So, yeah, send your feedback. The next story is all about when people in the 20s and 30s really imagined big. These slot cars were actually a display model costing $8 million. The name of the model was Futurama.
Wow.
I kid you not.
Okay,
there's
I'm not modeling
great
that.
Videos in here about the buildings and flying cars and even the fashions. We've seen the fashion one before. I remember the lady with the light in her hair.
Well, actually, Lady Gaga got really close to achieving this.
She is. It looks like a microphone. It's more like we have lights in our hair and cantilevered heels and that's
we've achieved most of this stuff actually.
it was pretty good, but they dreamt on a different scale. They didn't have to be exactly accurate, but
you got to realize back then they expected us to actually achieve a lot more than we have. And not saying that we haven't. I mean,
the Amazon Dash is an amazing product.
Yeah, exactly. We've done a tremendous amount of things. It's just, unfortunately, it's not necessarily for the betterment of humanity on a lot of levels.
We're still
in the future, in 2015, people will sit on their couches ordering toilet paper.
Exactly. We didn't dream that.
Pretty low estimation of society.
Yeah, we have a little bit better idea of where we're going to be in 1,200 years from at this point.
I think Idiocracy it called it about right.
I think so
or
too.
Wall-E.
That's becoming more prophetic every single year, and it scares me.
Is it not? Every time I got a pair of Crocs I wear to walk out around the yard and come back in, and I think about. That's what they were wearing in that movie.
There's so much in that film. I watch that one regularly just because it is really.
I'm gonna go back and watch. I don't think I've watched that in a long time.
It is just a brilliant movie, and a lot of the stuff that they talk about in there is actually starting to kind of come true.
It really is
social commentary.
Yeah, it really is.
It's it. But you know, I wonder if you know. I know we've seen stories where, especially like in the movie Futurama, where the aliens thought we were one way because they've been watching our TV shows and they came
20 years ago.
Yeah, Ally McBeal or whatever, or what was her name?
Yeah, Ally McBeal,
white female lawyer.
Yes.
I think about they see these kind of things. Oh, no threat.
Oh, the freaking dancing baby that everybody went crazy about. That was the creepiest thing ever.
Oh. Yeah, but what if aliens get that? And they go, that's what I'm saying. They look at this stuff and go, there's a lady with a blinking light in her head. You know, and,
no threat.
Yeah, no threat. No threat.
We must find a way to disable the light in her head.
Omicron Beta 8 is safe.
We have also our third and final story is the first known medical consent form dating back to the year 1524.
Wow, they had lawyers back then.
we will translate Paranoid, this.
I think is more like it.
Translated into the English, this crazy document reads, this is written to certify that Dmitry bin Nikola Damini, a non-Muslim living in the Ottoman state. This is like Ottoman Empire time, I guess.
Wow.
Resident in the Bakhsparazi neighborhood of the city of Bursa. Isn't that the stuff in your knee that always gets real sore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
who has a stone in his bladder presented with surgeon Sarah Sayyid Ali bin Bekara something or other to court hearing to have the stone removed, agreeing in the Sharia court in the presence of the Qadi that would pay 300 akhsi or silver coins for the removal of stone and that Sidi Ali would not be sued if Dimitri is harmed or even loses his life due to the stone removal.
See? Lawyers, even back then. They're like cockroaches.
Me.
They've been around forever. They will be here after the end of the world.
Don't sue me, bro.
Only cockroaches and lawyers will survive. They can sue the cockroaches for space.
Speaking of which, I want to know, did the guy make it?
Yeah, exactly. Do we have a follow-up on this? Did the guy die?
I wonder how the Yahoo commenting crowd will reconcile this with their idea that Muslims never contributed anything to science, medicine, or anything. No, I just say the Far East was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant people. You know, full of history. I mean, think about it.
Oh, truly.
The alphabet. A lot of mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, obviously medicine. Stuff. They were doing this kind of stuff back then. But, you know, I just wondered what I may have to go look it up somehow, but what was the state of medicine in 1524?
Bad.
Well,
they probably had a hook to go get that stone.
And there was no antibiotics.
Exactly. You know? I was going to say, it's not so much that as it was. Do you guys watch The Nick? Did you ever watch The Nick?
No.
It's actually a really great series that you should check out, because it really does show the level of medical progress that we made at that time. I can't wherever that whatever the time period is that they're actually showing
in the 1500s or in that movie.
In that movie.
Oh, okay. In the movie.
It's a series, and it really does show how we really made big gains in our understanding just by basically putting process to the procedures that we were doing.
Okay.
You know, you know what I'm saying.
Protocol.
And there was just a lot of innovation in that time. And the time at that time and before that time, mm-hmm. you realize how really in the dark we were and had no idea how the human body worked, how medicine worked. I mean, there was still a lot of witchery. There's still a lot of quackery that was going on.
Well, a lot of it was based around religion too. It was sacrilege to cut into the body.
Well, even in that, they had to actually address Sharia law in there in order to have it performed in the first place, because you had to qualify it with your God in order to be even able to have the procedure done. So, I mean,
Craig, you were about to say
interesting stuff.
Oh, well, I was trying to remember what president it was. I want to say it was, I'm probably wrong, but I think it was Garfield. One of them, even in 1800s, he got shot and they couldn't adequately address it. And maybe part of it, they were trying to get him to die, but he didn't for like a long time. He was held up and he got sick and everything because of the infection. And just to think of how, not pathetic, I'll still say pathetic, how inadequate it was then. I can only imagine what it was like in 1524.
You want to read something scary, read about Abraham Lincoln after he got shot and what he had to go through.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it sound like he would have...
Bloodletting, leeches, I mean, they were...
Probes and...
It was crazy.
It was nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty. Anyway, not to gross everybody out, but we're going to move on to the media corner.
Let's go to happier notes.
That's so much better.
Right.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
I was somewhat right when I said play DON'T!
Yeah, DON'T!
Craig, why don't you take this one, since you're the one who chose to put it in the show?
Yeah, so here's a movie that can possibly be anything you want, for real.
Oh, I knew this was coming.
So, Hasbro gazed upon the success of the Lego movie and did wonder, how can we get into some of that metric buttloads of cash?
Yes.
The answer apparently is throw Play-Doh at it. So, yes, folks, we have a Play-Doh movie on its way. Here you go. The movie's taking shape. He said, assured
the movie
no
is
one
taking
else is...
shape.
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
How is a live action Play-Doh movie not claymation?
It is claymation.
Well,
it has
they're
to
not
be.
But for marketing purposes, it has to be a live action.
And do they not understand that the reason the Lego movie worked is not because they were Legos, because it was brilliant freaking writing.
It was a story from the kid's perspective.
It was a brilliant story and a brilliant writing.
And you had the not only the characters, but you had, everybody's seen the, you know, superhero Legos, all this stuff. And it's all mashed together in one big movie.
Yeah.
And then it's all like a big joke on itself.
And they poke fun at themselves constantly. Yeah. I mean, the whole following the instructions and not following the instructions debate that's been going on inside of Lego for years. And they take that and make that a primary factor in the movie. That's brilliance. Just brilliant.
So Plato,
and now I got that stupid song in my head.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is cool.
So the Plato movie, what are you going to have? A guest spot by Gumby?
That would be awesome. I am Gumby Dummit.
Not the Eddie
Murphy. We
got to
get Eddie Murphy in to do it.
I was thinking more along the lines of Saturday Night Live. You know, Mr. Bill. No, Mr. Bill.
Oh, Mr. God. There we go. Mr. Bill.
That's it.
The Mr. Bill movie. Now, I would watch that.
Something else we would actually try and watch is this April Fool's follow-up of Disney Pixar's X-Wings. This is just a little trailer. It comes out and says, from the people bought you cars, planes, trains, and it's like... goes on.
That's hilarious.
About X-Wings, and they've got the eyes in the windscreen and the
like
talking.
The cars. Yeah.
I like it.
it was somewhat humorous. You could follow the same kind of Star Wars story, but it wasn't about Luke being a Jedi, obviously, from this trailer. It was about them flying around as friends and blowing up the Death Star.
Yeah. Well, I'll give them I posted it on Facebook and I said, do not want, you know, but I think it does look funny because, mm-hmm. yeah, they got everybody talking and everything, and it's done so well.
It really is. It looks like it could be a viable thing.
Yeah, a little bit of polish, that could have been totally the movie right there.
Yeah, it's about all you need, too, is 2 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're about right. That'd make a great two-minute movie.
It's just a little high on the price scale to get somebody to pay to watch a 2-minute movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
Disney can afford it.
Yeah.
We have one other in the geek library, a retro thing back to theverge.com. What have you found us, Craig?
Max Headroom.
Yeah, Max Headroom. I got to tell you, I loved Max Headroom.
So did I. He was way ahead of his time.
You know who the actor is?
Wait a minute. So hold on. Back up, Craig. So anyway,
we're here to derail Craig every week. That's our entire job.
You guys suck.
It's going to be harder to do when he's here in person.
Yeah, he's going to just start smacking us.
Yeah. Picard faceplant. No, so I loved Max Headroom almost to the point of obsession for him because I thought it was computer generated at one point. You know, because mm-hmm. I'm like, well, you see the lines behind him? He's got that chiseled kind of look, like a computer generated image, that almost like you saw in the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, to go back and revisit all that and read through it. And I watched the show, the American and the BBC version. And of course you saw all the ads and stuff. And so as you go through here, you kind of fill in the blanks with a lot of the story behind the scenes. And this is a good, walkthrough, you know, you can, there's interview, I'm sorry. There's interviews with my mind's blank. Matt Frewer,
mm-hmm.
And all the people behind the scenes. And there's pictures of him getting in the makeup and sitting in the chair.
Oh wow!
There's a picture of him sitting in the chair. And okay, the suit is actually, it looks like
it's plastic. Yeah,
it's just from the chest up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because that's all they ever shot was just from the chest up.
Yep.
But I mean, the cool thing about Max Headroom and I think the reason that it was so dated at the time, and people don't look at it again because it's so dated, but if you really go back and look at the show and what they were showing, it really did show where we were kind of going, and they had a really good vision of how the technology was going to impact us. I'm not sure we actually got to the level of Max Headroom, not yet. But I know we're certainly trying to get there, you know, with AI and mm-hmm. trying to, you know, download your consciousness into a computer. That's an old trope of sci-fi anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. You know, it's pretty cool stuff. And if you can get past the very dated, very 80s wow of of the show, the message is actually still pretty poignant.
What's funny is even some of the ads and little clips they have on YouTube that not really part of the show, but you just go watch it. Some of them are still funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, his timing was, he was on it.
Yeah. Is this content still available like on Netflix anywhere?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is
You can still find.
I don't know about Netflix, but.
I know it's on that alternate way of getting things.
might even be a few of them on YouTube.
Yeah, that torrent bit thing. Yeah, that we don't encourage anyone to use, but yeah, it's out there.
if the internet has everything,
that's
right.
And of course, they have in this article on The Verge, they have pictures. Like I said, behind the scene pictures, nobody's ever really seen, and they show. Now we're talking about the. What do you call that? Not Ducky. Dicky. I'm sorry. The Dicky looking thing where it's on his, just on his shoulders. Yeah. It's plastic. Mm-hmm. I was reading that they screwed it together over his shoulders. You know, so it was two pieces mm-hmm. and they put on the front piece and the back piece. So he couldn't really move around very much except for, you know, make it go side to side a little bit, you know, and he can move his head, of course, because his neck came through the neck of the plastic, like the top of the shirt. But yeah, it's funny to look at it. I love the look. It looks so, he still looks plasticky, mm-hmm. just sitting there.
Right.
this is so much fun to read though. Even even Harrison, my son, he knows a little bit about Max Headroom because I've showed him some clips, but he thought this was pretty cool. Some of the background back behind the scenes pictures.
Mm-hmm. All right, Craig, take us out. You added one thing at the end of the show. At the last minute, there is a new scary roller coaster.
There is. And I'm bringing this up because Ben, I posted on Facebook that Harrison and I wrote it. And I said, you haven't ridden a roller coaster until you've ridden this one.
It looks awesome. And I so want to go ride it.
Come to my house. I'll take you up there.
I'm there.
So we got season passes. We got season passes to Carowinds. We can go there all year.
Okay, and so we know it's at Carowinds. What's the name?
Carowinds?
What's so scary about it?
All right, so it's at Carowinds in South Carolina, North Carolina. It straddles the two states. So the roller coaster is the Fury 325, and it's named by 325 because that's how high you actually go to start. That's the highest. It's a giga coaster, which means that's the highest point is 300 to 400 feet, I think, that it has to start off with, and it drops.
You have to give you an oxygen mask when you're up there.
I looked around. I was like, oh, my gosh, I have not seen a view like this, except for working in downtown Charlotte. So I look around. It's great. You go when it tips over, it almost comes back under you slightly. So it really feels like you're going to just fly out, fall right out of the front of it. Of course. Oh, by the way, we rode in the front car.
Oh,
we had to.
So you're hanging over the edge at that last minute.
Yeah. It has an undercut is what you're talking about. So as it rolls over the top, it's not on a decline. It actually cuts back under.
Slightly.
And then
just slightly.
Just slightly. So you get a sense of weightlessness as you come over the top.
Yeah. And you feel like I'm about to fall out of it. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to go right out of it. And then it comes down and it's super fast. I think you go up to 95 miles an hour.
Wow.
So yeah, I had water coming out of my eyes, this whole time. So just when you think you're done, it's still going. And there's a lot of those weightless moments where you feel like you're just floating. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you come out of that, you're flipping. And it was just exhilarating. I can't put another word on it. It was fantastic. Well, it's funny you say that because Harrison and I both got off of it, and I had sea legs for a minute. Both of us. We're like, whoa, I'm just still, we were jabbering about it. And we walked up. It, by the way, it was a an hour and a half wait for that thing.
There's the Rail Shot coaster that's in Vegas, which is pretty cool. The linear accelerator coaster.
Where's that?
It's in Vegas.
And New York, it's on the New York, Newark, isn't it?
Yeah, is that the New one? New York. You crawl in it and you don't go up. You don't go up to a height.
Right.
They start you on the ground and shoot you up the first ramp.
Rock and Roller Coaster in Disney
does
that too.
Crazy.
Universal.
Because the acceleration on that is awesome. It's like being in a Top Fuel dragster. I mean, the first acceleration out of the gate. Those are awesome.
Oh, the Holcomb was like that.
Yeah. Yes,
and
the Hulk does
Universal.
That too.
Yep. Yeah, I was sitting in it, and I hear you hear Bruce Banner. Oh no, there's something wrong with my experiment.
And
by the time
it takes off,
and you just started going up the incline. It's like, whoa.
It shoots you up the hill. It doesn't drag you up the hill like a lot of roller coasters. Anyway, thank you for sharing. We want to
if you get a chance, I highly recommend it.
What, you didn't have a GoPro or anything, or is that illegal?
No, actually, I put all my, I was like, okay, I don't know how this thing's going fast. I didn't want anything in my pockets or anything.
So I lost my phone. Hey,
the other roller coasters, I know how they are, so I can deal with it. But I put everything in a locker. So, no, I have no video or nothing, but you can see the POV on their site. And I'll tell you something else. That one, as well as the Intimidator, last year or 2 years ago, they introduced the Intimidator, which is super fast, but it's the smoothest roller coaster I've ever been on. And that's what this one is, too. It's very smooth. I think the same company had built both.
That's the one that's got the polyurethane, the high-speed polyurethane bumpers and stuff on it. So it's like glass. It's so smooth. There's actually no gaps in the rail. They basically weld those up and file them down. And, yeah, I've read about that one. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was not rocky at all. It was, like, smooth. You just go from one thing to the other. Great.
Fantastic. We could just talk about this for
hours.
Yeah,
we could, but we're running out of time.
I see that.
Come to my house, Michael.
We're done. Let's go. Come on, time.
We were remiss last week. We did not include a question of the week, so we're going to make up for it this week. How many online devices do you have in your house, and can you name them?
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's what we want to ask you, the listener. So write us, technorama@chuckchat.com, or call the listener line, 206-222-2428. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, there was a time I could name them. I don't know.
I think I can. Just go to your router and say what IP addresses are in use. Yeah. And
you know, leases.
Discount the neighbors.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You have to go to various access points now, because not everybody's got one access point anymore.
Well, it's very important. Make sure that you rename your Wi-Fi network as FBI's the surveillance van number one.
Sure.
We did that at Dragon Con.
So we want to hear from you. How many online devices do you have, and can you name them? Let us know, and we will give you a shout-out in the upcoming weeks. I don't care if it's next week or a couple of weeks. Don't forget, 3 weeks from now, from when this is recorded, we're doing episode 10-year anniversary, and Craig will be in the studio. So if you are in the Phoenix area, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. But until then, give me a binary high five, Craig.
101, yeah!
Like a wrestler pose when I was doing that.